This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, coming up later this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, it's Thursday, of course, so we're going to do our weekly legislative update with Speaker of the House Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. Joins us every Thursday of the very fast-moving 90-day legislative session here in Montana. And, you know, some days I'm like, okay, well, you know, he's going to tell us what the big topics are, you know, what, you know, the specific bills that are moving through the process, what's the closest to get to the governor's desk, et cetera. So some days we don't have a list of topics that we're going to cover, but there's a couple of things that I think we're going to want to cover for sure later this morning. And if I forget, I hope you guys remind me, or maybe you'll call in and throw a question or two out there yourself as well, or send us a message on our Montana Talks app throw some questions towards the Speaker of the House of the Montana House of Representatives here. But there's a couple of topics that I thought we could cover. One of them is a topic that I don't even think has been covered in the Montana media yet, but it was actually something that our listeners have brought up. It's the central bank digital currency question. This kind of came up yesterday with Gary in Billings. Gary in Billings was talking more about what's going on at the national level where you know they're trying to force not just a digital currency on Americans in a global digital currency, but where they want to also kind of force this central bank component to it as well. And anyway, as Gary was talking, I was just thinking in the back of my mind, I was like, man, I'd swear I saw something about this. And I think it was former Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman who was raising some of these concerns. And then I went into Twitter during the 8:35 break yesterday. And yeah, there it was. Former Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman, who's also a past chairman of the Montana Republican Party. He was sharing some tweets from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is fighting any effort to instill a CBDC, a central bank digital currency there in Florida. I think we had a caller make the point yesterday at a Kalispell that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem vetoed a bill that would have something to the effect of a central bank digital currency instilled there. So the question I had for Jeff Essman, and I shot him a note via Twitter yesterday, was, okay, so it sounds like this Senate Bill 370 in the state Senate that already passed the state Senate that now is before the state House of Representatives, that there are concerns that bill to kind of clarify digital currency rules may also contain a CBDC provision to it. And former Senator Essman says, yes, he is of the understanding that it does contain that provision. And so basically, if Jeff, if you're listening, call in or message me, correct me if I'm misstating what you had to say. But based on what, you know, our back and forth, I got the impression that you're saying that the House of Representatives in Montana needs to remove that piece regarding a CBDC. But anyway, that's just one topic that we could cover with Speaker Regeer later this morning in about 1 hour. There's another big one that we definitely got to cover, too. I'll tell you about that one right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Let's just suppose that we put all the flaming spears and attack ads away and had an adult conversation about federal government entitlements. Let's also suppose, just for sake of discussion, that we think that support for the economic security and healthcare needs of older Americans is worth preserving. What could we do to actually accomplish that? It's becoming clearer by the day that the option of doing nothing is not on the table. It's been known and publicly reported for decades that demographics, longevity, and healthcare costs will exhaust funds in the immediate future. Logically, solutions must come from either the spending or the revenue side. Screaming in pain and denial is not logical. Of the two, the spending side has the most promise, especially for Medicare. The giant program is caught in a trap. Its costs are going up because healthcare costs are going up, but a lot of reasons why healthcare costs are going up is because of Medicare. Most
call now for your free consultation at 800-200-0894. 800-200-0894.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so what's the other big story? You know, if we just rolled into the 9 o'clock hour this morning and we didn't have any ideas of topics to cover when it comes to our weekly legislative update here for this fast-moving 90-day legislative session, if we had nothing to come up, sometimes that is how it might roll on a Thursday morning, but not today. Now, boy, this is a big story that we have got to talk about, and I think we would talk about even if I didn't bring it up. There's a few headlines that I've got in front of me here that all tie together, that all mention this topic as well. Let's see. NBC Montana has this headline: transferring of prisoners to Arizona facility remains in Maine funding bill. Montana House Republicans endorse state budget bill. That's the Montana Television Network headline. And then there's a liberal blog, the Daily Montanan. That's the liberal blog that was started by the disgraced former editor of the Billings Gazette, who now started this liberal blog, probably getting a bunch of dark money to fund his outfit from radical left-wing groups. But anyway, it's still an interesting read nonetheless. Here's the big picture. And I'm going to have to summarize this for our listeners that'll join us just for the 9 o'clock hour. Luckily, you're able to tune in to this extra hour of Montana Talk, so we can do a little bit more of a deep dive here in this 8 o'clock hour. Then I can do a quick summary in the 9 o'clock hour, and then also get the reactions with the Speaker of the House and take more phone calls as well. But here's the bottom line: we know that we've got a big crime problem here in Montana. We know that the Mexican drug cartels and the fentanyl and the meth, that it is fueling a crime wave here in Montana. Now, our American Indian reservations are being hit very hard by the fentanyl-fueled drug cartel crime. And we know why the drug cartels are able to bring all these drugs here. It's because of the Democrats' policies and the wide-open invasion taking place on our southern border. Okay, we all know this. So because we have this huge spike in crime, not just on our reservations, particularly in our larger cities, Billings, for example, Missoula, for example, I know even Kalispell, dealing with a crime spike, transients, fentanyl, the Mexican drug cartels, all the above, right? So what's the other challenge that we've got? Well, we've also have a population that has grown significantly in the last 3 years. We've got a lot of people that have moved into Montana. And what happens when your population as a whole increases? You're going to get a lot of good people that move here, but you're also going to get some bad people that move here. And so when your population grows, that means there's certain services that need to grow along with it, whether it's more roads or more sewer pipes or more water pipes, more electrical infrastructure, more schools, more hospital beds. I know that's a groundbreaking thought. Gee, if we would have had more hospital beds before the spring of 2020, if Obamacare hadn't caused all this destruction to the healthcare industry, boy, we might have been a little bit better in the fall of 2020. But that's another topic. What else do we need? We need more jail space. We need more prison space. Our jails in many parts of Montana, especially the cities that I just mentioned, are full. Great Falls, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter told us right here on this show, same problem in Great Falls, crowded jails. And what are these sheriffs in these county detention facilities telling us? They're saying, hey, we've got guys that are sitting in our jail, that are crowding our jail. So when the police officers or the sheriff deputies go out and arrest these crooks and arrest these criminals, sometimes the criminals never get put behind bars because there's no space at the jail. So they have to prioritize who will be sitting behind bars and who will be put back out on the street to commit even more crimes against you, the law-abiding good people of Montana. So what these sheriffs and what these county detention facility operators are telling us is, hey, these people need to be transferred in. They've already been charged. They've already been prosecuted. They've already been sentenced. They need to be transferred into the state prison system. But the state prison system has had capacity issues as well and staffing issues as well. So the Republican supermajority in the legislature and Governor Greg Gianforte are looking at what are we going to do to help the innocent, law-abiding citizens of Montana? How will we protect them in the wake of this southern border Mexican drug cartel-fueled violence and crime that's taking place in Montana? How do we protect the people? How do we not create more victims, right? So they had this idea where okay, Course Civic, which is the company that does a good job running the privately run correctional facility outside of Shelby, Montana. Course Civic runs the prison outside of Shelby, Montana. Well, they also operate a prison down in Arizona, and they've got 120 beds available for us right now. So they can take 120 prisoners off the streets of Montana and ship them down to Arizona and have them behind bars there. And it'll cost a few million dollars, but look, how much cost are we seeing crime that's taking place right now? And so that's the only option on the table at this point. That's the only concrete solution that anybody has put forward to actually do something about this massive crime spike. We just had a police officer shot in Billings, Montana on Saturday morning, and the suspect tried to shoot several other cops. We had a police officer in Great Falls shot 2 weeks before that. We had a highway patrol trooper run over by a criminal suspect who was put back out on the streets before he ran the highway patrol trooper over. All of these incidents within just the past 2 months alone, something has got to happen. This is the only solid option on the table.
Call us today at 406-640-4444 or chat online at MontanaAdvocates.com.
He's life. He's liberty. He is Mark Levin. And you can hear him each weekday afternoon starting at 4 on News Talk 103.3 at AM 970.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so there's several sources that we can cite here, but let me give you the big picture kind of scene setter here on what occurred in the state legislature yesterday, the big news. And this is a very important bill. House Bill 2 is always one of the most important bills that come up during the legislature. It's the big budget bill, basically. Jonathan Ambarian with KTVH TV, with the Montana Television Network, has a good report here. Here's the first couple of sentences. The Montana House spent the whole day Wednesday debating just one bill, but it's by far the biggest of the legislative session. On a 68-32 party line vote, the House endorsed House Bill 2, the main state budget bill, which sets out $14.3 billion in spending over the next 2 years. All Republicans voted in favor of the bill, with all Democrats in opposition. And so it sounds like the Democrats spent the whole day trying to amend it, trying to add hundreds of millions of dollars in additional spending to it. And the Republicans, as I'm sure Speaker Regeer will point out in the 9 o'clock hour, did a great job of rejecting the increased spending that the Democrats were trying to push. But one thing that the Democrats tried to do is they tried to bring a stop. They tried to bring a halt to the funding that would allow for 120 prisoners to be sent down to Arizona. So basically, you'd have $2 million this year, $2 million next year, that would go towards sending up to 120 Montana prisoners to a private Core Civic prison in Arizona. And the Democrats are mad. According to this liberal blog, The Daily Montanan, the amendment was proposed by Representative S.J. Howell, a Democrat out of Missoula, probably a pro-wolf candidate, too, I'll bet you. Probably all about having more wolves out there. I'm just going to, not just because the name's Howell, but because of the D behind their name here. That's an easy guess. I'm going to go with that one for a second here. But anyway, this Representative S.J. Howell out of Missoula said, along with other Democrat lawmakers, that while the House had been working on measures this session to lower recidivism and decrease the number of people incarcerated in Montana, the move to send prisoners 1,200 miles away flies in the face of all of that. Democrats wondered how families with members who are in prison would be able to communicate with them that far away, how they would have a relationship with their legal counsel, and why lawmakers were not working harder to find alternative solutions despite others being on the table, like increasing the number of pre-release beds for people. So the bottom line here, when you read this liberal blog's telling of the tale, is that we have jails that are overcrowded. We have people that are crowding those jails in your communities, in your towns, in your counties, that should be sitting in a state prison, but the prison is full and the prison has had staffing issues, and the Republicans just increased the pay for corrections employees to help with the staffing issues. But the bottom line is we have got a lot of Mexican drug cartel, fentanyl-fueled violence and crime that is wreaking havoc all across Montana. And so the Republicans put forward a proposal, the only real proposal that will do anything about this in the short term, to ship 120 of these prisoners down south for the winter. And the Democrats are mad. The Democrats, and what's the Democrats' response? The Democrats' response is, oh, we can't have these poor prisoners sent far away. What about their families? Well, what about the victims' families? What about the victims who have seen their family members murdered, or have had their homes vandalized, or their business broken into, or their kids given fentanyl and they've OD'd on fentanyl? What about those families? What about them? Oh, these Democrats, they pretend to be so compassionate, don't they? Oh, they're so compassionate. Like this liberal judge, Mike Moses, who just lowered the bond and dismissed some of the felony charges against the woman who shot a police officer on Saturday morning in Billings, Montana, and attempted to shoot and kill others. Oh, that judge is so compassionate, isn't he? So caring, so thoughtful. That liberal judge that also tried to force the transgender birth certificates and undermine election integrity laws because he's such a biased left-wing judge. He's so compassionate, isn't he? Well, for the woman who shot the police officer, but not for the family of the police officer that was shot, not for the other police officers that are out there risking their lives once again today for him and you and me and the rest of us. Same thing for these legislative Democrats. Oh, they're so compassionate. How will these families communicate with their loved one in Arizona? Well, I don't know. How do they communicate with their loved ones in Arizona right now? You can get an Allegiant flight for $200 round trip. That's cheaper than the gas to get back and forth from Helena under the Joe Biden, John Tester gas prices right now. Or hell, why don't you whip out your Facebook account and message them on Facebook? Or how about this? You're in prison and we're in a crisis right now. The same legislative Democrats that used the crisis to shut down your church, to shut down your restaurant, to shut down your fabric shop in Polson, Montana. But you could go buy fabric from Walmart, couldn't you? Oh, yeah. We'll shut down your fabric shop in Polson, but don't worry. They'll just go buy fabric from the Walmart. Yeah, the same Democrats that used that crisis to shut down your church and to shut down your restaurant and to shut down your fabric shop. They don't see this as an urgent crisis that demands urgent action such as this. Absolutely disgusting. All right, that's kind of the bigger picture, a little bit bigger of a deep dive here. And, I got to tell you what I got to give credit where credit's due there, by the way. The newly elected lawmaker from Anaconda, he's the one who really nailed it yesterday. He pissed off the Democrats yesterday with his remarks. And, because he's the one who asked the question In fact, let me quote him for you. I think it's was it in this liberal blog? Where was it? I got to look for Anaconda. I'll look for Anaconda. Okay. While I look for Anaconda, let's go into the phone lines here. We got Bruce in Billings first up. Bruce, what's going on?
Yeah, my concern is why aren't we utilizing the Hardin Jail? That thing, if I'm not mistaken, is sitting down there empty. I think it's about 300 beds. We're overcrowded. What politics are involved and what sissies can't get over some issue to get that? I had heard that Sheriff Linder said, well, it wasn't up to his standards. Well, what does Sheriff Linder have to say about it? If we need bed space and we need jail space, can he please get over it and quit costing us money by sending people out of state? Let's utilize the beds we got. I'm not in favor of building new jails because that costs me money, but let's utilize what we got.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on the Hardin detention facility. I went in there, what was it, 2006, 2000? It was sometime between when I got back from Iraq in 06 and before I went to Afghanistan in 08. Yeah, 08. So, well, when was that again? Thankfully, I'm slowly forgetting. Yeah, sometime between 2006 and 2008, I was working as a reporter and a producer at KTVQ Television, right? And so I was inside one of the jail cells, liberals are cheering everywhere, with former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer. So do you remember this at all, Bruce? Do you remember when then-Governor Brian Schweitzer was visiting the Hardin detention facility and taking a tour?
All I remember is it's been a great big kind of a pissing match since the thing was tried to open.
Yeah.
And somebody spent a lot of money, and I want to know who's mad at who, and let the little sissies get over their pouting, and let's utilize the facility, and let's not cost the taxpayers more money by sending them all the way to Arizona.
For some of them, yeah, that's, yeah. No, but, I mean, yeah, to your point about, which is, okay, short term, yes. Okay, let's send 120 down to Arizona. They're supposed to be behind bars. And no, Democrats, we don't want to put them back out on the streets. And I'm sorry, you're a little, oh, send them to a halfway house. That's what we've been doing. We've been playing a catch and release game, putting criminals back out on the streets and dumping them into certain communities in Montana, and then they commit more crime. Crimes and more crimes and more crimes. That is what is fueling the crime on top of the drug cartels that John Tester is allowing into this country, too. Bruce, though, no, that's because you're exactly right. Okay, short term, ship them to Arizona. But, okay, let's talk about the, you know, 2 to 5 year plan now. I believe that Hardin detention facility is still sitting there. When I was there in whether it was 2006 or 2008, It was a very good looking facility, fully built, ready to be a prison, ready to get up in operation. They even had the little prison slippers. They even had the little prison, what do you call them? Not the scrubs that the nurses wear, but you know, whatever the scrubs are that the inmates wear. You know, Hunter Biden could probably tell us what the name is, or should be able to tell us what the name of those scrubs are. Maybe Hunter Biden should be the first inmate in the Hardin detention facility. You're exactly right. The building is there. The bars are there. They probably still have the flip-flops for the inmates to wear. But I remember at the time, here we are. We're inside, and we got the TV cameras there. The Gazette's there. And Schweitzer was supposed to be taking a tour. He was the Democrat governor at the time. And but instead of taking in the tour, thoughtfully analyzing, putting this facility into use, he starts wagging his finger and poking the woman who was the city attorney at the time. And he's wagging his finger right in her face, putting on a big show because he was against privately run prisons. And still she sits and the crime keeps arising, right?
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are wide open for you right now. I know I've been kind of talking at length, just to, you know, but really these are issues that we've seen on the horizon now for as our Chester, Montana friends would say, pert near 20 years now, right? So that's why we got to go into a little bit of the backstory here. And thankfully, we've got this extra hour of Montana Talks here in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about it. And then we'll do a quick summary in the 9 o'clock hour and get reaction from the Speaker of the House later on in the 9 o'clock hour. But I got some great messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app here as well that I want to get to. And phone lines are open, 294-0970. I know I was going to try to get to Jay and Bozeman before the last break. So, Jay, feel free to call back in if you still got something you want to share with our listeners across the state here. But, you know, hey, we're talking prisons. We're talking jail. We're talking judges. We're talking courts. Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, you may not be facing jail time, but you might get in some legal trouble through no fault of your own. You know, somebody slams into your car. Somebody does something that leads to you having an injury that's going to have a lot of expensive medical bills now. Well, who's going to fight for you? Who's going to stand up for you? Who's going to go to that courtroom for you? Who's going to make sure all those settlement calls stop, or those collection calls stop coming in right now? I'll tell you what, you have got an advocate on the ground here in Montana. I'm talking about the Montana Advocates. These are lawyers right here in Montana. You will have no out-of-pocket expenses. You will pay no retainer fee. These are experienced attorneys who are available to chat 24/7. All you got to do, go to MontanaAdvocates.com. MontanaAdvocates.com. Or you can also give them a call right now or later today, 406-640-4444. 406-640-4444. Let's see. Lori in Billings. Jail overcrowding has been a problem for years. Why didn't the Democrats solve the issue when they had power? That's a good question, Lori. I would say this is that the way that they wanted to solve the issue was they didn't want more jails. They don't want more prisons. They don't think that as the population expands, you're naturally going to have a higher number of everything. That's why earlier when I was saying, okay, as your community grows, you have to build certain things. I mean, it's like when the Sim City game first came out back in, was it that in the 90s? You know, and to build your city, you have to have certain things. You have to have a water system. You have to have roads. You have to have electricity, railroads and schools and hospitals and bridges and yes, jails and prisons. But the Democrats live in this liberal utopian la-la land. That's one aspect here. The other aspect is they are trying to transform America into something else. And so I think they are deliberately destabilizing this country to get people more dependent on the government and to transform this country into something else. So I think that's there's a two-factor at play here. But no, you know, Brian Schweitzer, he was bound and determined. It didn't matter what that city attorney, what she told him. It didn't matter how great that facility was. She was never going to get the green light from Brian Schweitzer, see, because he didn't want a privately run facility. It's got to be government jobs or no jobs for the Democrats. Because, see, they need their union buddies to send money to the Democrat Party campaign operatives. And so if it's a privately run facility, then the likelihood that they're not union workers, now the Democrats don't get their cut of the cash. So the Democrats didn't want that facility up and running. Same reason the Democrats complain about the Core Civic Prison near Shelby, Montana. They despise anything that's privately run. Same reason the Democrats, like John Tester, opposed VA choice for veterans. Why would he want veterans going to a privately run doctor's office across town when they could spend 6 hours in a car to get to Helena to see the government doctor, to see the government employees union doctor? the same government employees union that will be sure to send money to Democrats and Democrat campaign coffers. So that's why for a long time, John Tester opposed VA choice for veterans. Same reason Brian Schweitzer opposed privately run prisons. And so now here we are, the dramatic population growth of Montana post 2020, combined with the 2020 crime surge all across America that were fueled by liberal prosecutors and liberal judges and liberal activists like the BLM movement. And now you have a massive crime uptick in key population centers in Montana. And the Democrats, even to this day, they do not want more people going to prison. And that's what this Democrat from Missoula was saying. I think it's one of the transgender lawmakers was saying, oh, no, come on. Give us more time. You don't have more time. You've got 90 days. You have got another month and a half, if you're lucky, to solve all of these issues. Republicans put for Representative Bill Mercer out of Billings, who's a former U.S. attorney. He was very thoughtful in his remarks here. He said in this KTVH TV report, he said, look, if you're uncomfortable with this proposal, I welcome your support for the increased capacity of secured beds in Montana. I agree with you. It would be better if we had another prison in Montana. So if we can jointly agree on that, that's fine. But that is not something we're going to be able to do in this budget. What we need to do now is figure out a way to deal with this math problem, and this is the only alternative that I'm aware of. He's making the point that, like, hey, this is the only option out there to deal with this dramatic spike in crime. And the Democrats even still do not want to address this crisis in violence, attacks on our law enforcement and others. They're still saying, oh, no, just send them back to the community. And then they'll commit more crimes. It's insanity across the board. And it's a good thing that the Republicans are in charge and are charging forward. Hey, we know we got a lot of things to fix, though. We still got school boards in this state that are a mess. Billings in particular still has a majority liberal-dominated school board, and school board elections are right around the corner. We've actually got one of the great candidates. This is a nice surprise phone call. One of the great candidates who's stepping forward to run for the school board is on the phone lines. Brooke Wagner, stand by. I'll get to you here in just a second. But first up, let's go to Kim in Kalispell, wanting to weigh in on this whole prison conversation. Kim, thanks for the call.
Hi, thank you. So what happened to the Hardin private prison?
Basically still shut down. It's just sitting there empty. It's like
we can't send our prisoners to Hardin instead of Arizona?
No, not right now. Yeah, I'll have to follow up with the folks out there to see could it be done, if it could be done, how long would it take. But no, that pretty much is not an option right now, and I don't know how quickly they could make that an option.
Well, the other suggestion I have is why do people go to prison in the first place? So we could expand our libraries, improve our schools, social services, community services, and maybe keep those people out of the legal system in the first place. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm a liberal, as you say, I'm a radical liberal leftist, whatever. But I think community-based programs are a good way to try to keep people out of the prison system.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And we've got incredible programs that are doing exactly what you just thought. I think you just hit a topic that conservatives and liberals would agree on.
Well, not in Kalispell. Kalispell was the county commissioners in Flathead County are not very supportive of a warming center and some of the other.
Well, I think what the commissioners are saying, and I would agree with them, is we've gotten out of balance now. We are now out of balance to where the scales have tipped too far in one direction. I think you and I can agree that treatment is great. Treatment is a must-have option, whether it's for meth addiction or alcohol addiction Right? Like, those programs are incredible. We need to continue supporting those programs. I think what the Flathead County Commissioners, and I would full-heartedly agree with them, same thing with homeless programs. There's great homeless programs that work. There's some other homeless programs in Montana that do not work. We have gotten out of balance now where we have put too much in the treatment side of the house, and these people are not being treated, and they're just fueling more crime. Same thing with the homeless problem. We're recruiting transients to move here from other places. And instead of helping the people that actually live here get out of homelessness. But anyway, Kim, great to hear from you. I'm sorry we're short on time. Brooke Wagner, a candidate for School District 2 in Billings. Looking forward to chatting with you right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Hunter Biden, everybody knew that he was a crack addict at that point in his life. Everybody knew his propensity for hookers at that point in his life. That was a total, complete mess. Why would China be doing a $1.5 billion deal with the Bank of China? Like, how much of that was profit? How many deals did they do? When are we going to get the answers to these questions? Did they really get a $5 million loan from China with no interest and forgivable? Anybody out there listening to me, you want $5 million, I'll give it to you interest-free and it's forgivable. What does forgivable mean? You don't have to pay it back. That's what forgivable sounds like to me. Or, you know, any of the other cases, you know, sports cars and foreign nationals, spending sprees. When are we going to get to the bottom of all of this? No. This is the dual system of justice.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Do you have more than $50,000 saved for retirement that you can't afford to lose? Biden's pro-inflation White House sent billions to Ukraine, burying U.S. in national debt, while doing nothing to stop inflation and help our own country. Can your retirement survive crippling inflation and growing debt at the same time? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, heed the warnings. Do something to protect yourself now. That's why, right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to protect their retirement savings from everything that's going on. So call 855-815-GOLD to get your free IRS loophole kit and see how you could protect your retirement savings while getting up to $10,000 in free silver for doing it. We could be looking at a future worse than 2008, so don't wait. Call Gold Co. today. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
There's another kind of bracket mania sweeping the country, and its effects will last long beyond the NCAA basketball tournament. The Wall Street Journal praising Montana, Montana's Governor Gianforte, the state legislature, and several other states that are now not only busting tax brackets, but also lowering the tax rates with over $1 billion in tax relief. We talked about that and more on Wednesday's Montana Talks, coming up Thursday, legislative update and more.
This is where Montana talks.
Jim in Great Falls. Jim, what's on your mind?
I don't understand the program. They legalize marijuana and then take the majority of the tax money to make a treatment facility. So then they legalize gambling, and then they have a gambling treatment center, but then you can also write off if you lost. We create the problem, we feed the problem, we keep the problem.
4380.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I did want to say real quick, too, to Kim in Kalispell. Hey, definitely call back in again. I know, even tomorrow, if you want, at this, in earlier on in the 8 o'clock hour, because I'd love to hear more from you. I appreciate hearing your perspective, even if it might be a little different than mine or the Flathead County Commissioner's. So I enjoyed receiving your phone call, and I apologize that we're short on time. So definitely call back again, even as early as tomorrow, if you want to, in the 8 o'clock hour. We got a great surprise phone call here from Brooke Wagner. Brooke Wagner is an incredible Billings mom. I don't know how else to describe her. You probably know her husband, Bo Wagner. He's a great rodeo producer, but she is stepping up to the plate to run for School District 2 school board in Billings. Brooke, thanks for the surprise phone call this morning.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Aaron.
Well, what do you want to tell folks across Montana? I know we're going to be really short on time, and so what we need to do is get you here in studio and have you on for some more time and hear from you in a little bit more depth. But what do you want to tell folks right now?
No worries at all. I just really wanted to kind of introduce myself and all the things you've been talking about this morning. As I've been listening, I've just been kind of mulling over how we can partner with other things in our community, you know, through the school board, to really just make life better for the students in Billings, for our teachers, for our community members. So that's really the heart behind why I'm running.
Some of our listeners might remember this. So St. Vincent Healthcare does their big Call for Kids Radiothon, where they raise money for the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit, and always incredible to hear the stories and what they're doing for these kids and for these families. But you actually, you do music therapy. You go into the pediatric intensive care units and bring your guitar and you play songs for these kids and really brighten their day in really tough, troubling times.
Yeah, I definitely hope that that's one of the end results. I feel like that was really one of the things that kind of spurred me on to run for school board is I see these kids that come in, you know, to the hospital and the kids that are struggling and all of the mental health issues that we have in our community right now. And I can't sit by any longer and not find more and more ways to help. And so even your other caller that you had just a minute ago that, like you said, maybe has a little different perspective or a little different place they're coming from, my passion and my heart is to try to find ways for us all to come together. We may not 100% agree on every single issue or every single way to fix the problems, but the more of us that can come together and say, we are here for the kids, we're here for our community, let's figure this out together. That's really the heart behind what I want to do.
I know you've got kids in the public schools and, you know, very involved in the whole community, especially big support in the ag community in particular. But with everything that's been going on in the last 3 years in particular, the mask mandates, the disruptions, classes being canceled, sports being canceled, and then we saw the whole fight just to allow Emily Pennington to attend her senior year of high school. What is it that prompted you to want to run for the school board?
You know, really the catalyst for me was kind of more of a school safety issue. It was really that day that Billings West went on a pretty significant lockdown and we didn't know what was going on. And I got a text from my son saying he was hiding in a cabinet in one of his classes. And I thought this is not how I want to do this. And this is not what I want for our students here in Billings. So I'm actually really proud to be endorsed by K-316 Detection Services. It's an amazing Billings police officer here in town who has kind of a side business where he has a dog that will go in and sniff out drugs and explosives and, you know, really being proactive. So I just, things like that are happening in our schools, no child should go to school afraid and wondering if they're going to make it home that day. So
yeah, no, that's fascinating. Yeah, I've heard that school security and school safety really is a driving issue for so many, even with all the other stuff aside. Brooke Wagner, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll have to, like I say, we'll have to get you in studio to join us for a little bit more of an in-depth conversation, but good luck to you.